This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan. O one who sleeps, stand up and declare the oneness of Allah, the oneness of Allah. Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum and a very warm welcome to the philosophy of fasting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praises go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah be pleased with Muhammad, his last servant and messenger. Today we have joining us Dr. Hatham Al-Aldad. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for joining us in the studio today.
Jazakallah khair, inshallah.
Well, Dr. Hatham, we're talking about the philosophy of fasting, obviously, as you know. Today, I want to talk a little bit about why we choose the lunar calendar and the Hijra calendar. What's so important of the Hijra calendar? Why not just go with the standard calendar of the world now and just go 2012 or 1433? What's the difference?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Brother Rafi, the discussion with you is a bit challenging because you are coming from a non-Islamic background. Obviously,
yes.
You converted to Islam recently.
Alhamdulillah.
In the last 3 years, I think you've been
yes.
Muslim. It is good to have this discussion because for you as a new Muslim, mm-hmm. or for maybe people who are living in the West and exposed to Western ideas, or people living in non-Muslim countries, and they are exposed to non-Muslim ideas, non-Islamic ideas, they should be aware of such discussion. That's why this program is talking about philosophy of fasting from all angles.
Exactly.
And by the way, I don't think that it is. This is something unique for us in the West or Muslims living in non-Muslim countries. Now, because of globalization, as you are aware of, people are exposed to all different ideas. And if they do not know the philosophy of Sharia, the philosophy of Islam, then they might be confused. And some of them, I have seen some people who start to be liberal and they don't want to be, as they say, Orthodox Muslims, because they don't think that they are doing something wrong. They think that this is the true philosophy of Islam. This is the true philosophy of Sharia.
I understand, Sheikh. I just must pick up on that point. I heard you say Orthodox and liberal. These are your words I'm used to previously before being a Muslim. I just want to stop and, you know, verify you're saying Orthodox. Do we not just follow the Sunnah and the Quran? Is there some like strict or liberal? What is it in Islam?
That is true. Mm-hmm. This is exactly the point, that we follow the Quran and Sunnah.
Yes.
And we follow the consensus of scholars.
Okay.
Full stop. But people label those who follow Quran and Sunnah, mm-hmm. and people and follow the consensus of all scholars, mm-hmm. for they label them as Orthodox.
Right.
And they, because you know, in the West, as you just said, they don't have guidelines for the interpretation of the Bible or the interpretation even of the law.
Yes.
But from an Islamic perspective, one very unique characteristic of Islam and really a very important feature of Islam is what is the guidelines for interpretation. So you cannot interpret the text as you like.
Right.
And then we will have liberal people and Orthodox people.
Mm-hmm.
If you interpret the text according to the guidelines that have been set by the Prophet ﷺ and the companions, then you will end up with one interpretation.
Right.
There are some variations, but within a certain framework. But when you try to go against those guidelines, then you will end up with an interpretation that is alien to Islam. Now, because of this, again, globalization and the background of non-Muslims started to say that those who are following the strict guidelines, they are Orthodox, and those who are calling for a new interpretation of Islam, they are liberal. Otherwise, all of us should be following, as you said, Quran and Sunnah. As simple as this.
Definitely, Sheikh Adam. I just want to add my personal experience there. When I first came to Islam, you know, I went into the mosque and all I saw was men with big beards thinking, oh, I'm with these people that, you know, I hated. Why am I here? But subhanAllah, when you get to the beauty and the sweetness and the reward from Allah, there's no strictness in Islam. It's all beauty, soft, and nobody understands coming from, if you say to a Muslim who was born a Muslim, however, we all born Muslim. However, if you revert or convert to being a Muslim, you can never explain that true feeling.
Yes, I agree. Totally agree. The sweetness that we, for example, born as Muslims and raised up in Muslim environments,
exactly.
We do not see that big shift.
Of course.
And you people, you feel that sweetness. Mm. SubhanAllah, this is, maybe we are jumping into another episode.
Yes, definitely.
Which is the sweetness of fasting, the sweetness of submission to Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Yes.
And no one else finds that sweetness except the person who submits to Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Of course.
But, okay, as we are discussing this, let us just go to the issue of the Hijrah calendar.
Yes,
if you don't mind. You know, see, each, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated to Medina, and Muslims started, generally speaking, to count after his Hijrah.
Right.
To have a sort of calendar, unofficial, based on the time of the Hijrah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was just an official, arbitrary, something like this. But when things developed, and the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq came, and the time of Umar came, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a Khalifa for almost 10 years, or more than 10 years. And he wanted to establish a new development for the Muslim state, because the Muslim state flourished and became so big. And he started even to give the child benefits and so on.
Of course.
So he needs to have an official calendar.
Right.
Okay, now because the Muslims are not anymore just a small state, it is a big state.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the city, the you can say the civilization of Islam started to crystallize more with the expansion of the Islamic state.
Mm-hmm.
So Umar ibn al-Khattab wanted to have an official calendar. So he consulted the Sahaba, how can we have an official calendar? And from an Islamic perspective, Islam has its own identity. Islam doesn't want the Islamic identity to melt down or to assimilate in other identities. Especially the Islamic identity is focused on Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Jalla wa Ala. You can say the center of the Islamic identity is what? Is the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Jalla wa Ala. The problem is other identities do not have that central focus, which is Tawheed. In fact, you can say that other identities are centered on shirk or disbelief or associating someone beside Allah Jalla wa Ala. So it is natural to have two different identities, the Islamic identity and the non-Islamic identity. If we allow the Islamic identity to be assimilated or to melt down in the other identity, what will happen? Tawheed itself will be assimilated in disbelief or in shirk. Okay. And it will not be the identity that we are calling people to.
I totally agree and understand. So let me just get this clear, just to make it clear in my head, and hopefully for the viewers at home, what you're saying to us, basically, if we melt down the oneness of Allah, this is why we stick to the lunar calendar.
Because this is part of it. So what I'm saying is that we have, as Muslims, we have to have our own identity.
Of course.
And the Hijra calendar is part of our identity as Muslims.
Yes.
That's why when Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second caliph, consulted the companions to have an official calendar for the Islamic State, they discussed all possible options, and they knew that the Muslim civilization, or the Islamic country, or the Islamic State, or the Ummah, they have to have their own identity. So they said that Allah gave victory to Islam when the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina. And the Islamic State, the Islamic civilization, started by establishing the first Islamic State, which is what? Which was Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. The Islamic State in Al-Madinah Al-Nabawiyyah. So they said, let us use the date of the Hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, the date when the Prophet ﷺ migrated, as the reference point.
Okay.
So that was the beginning of what? The Hijrah calendar. And that's why many scholars consider referring to the Hijrah calendar as one of the Islamic guidelines that we need to stick to it and we need to follow.
Definitely.
So it is a matter of identity that we need to follow the Hijrah calendar. And we don't want this identity to be dissolved. That's why, you see, in the West, it is good to resurrect this calendar.
Yes.
And Ramadan, subhanAllah, is a very deep philosophy. Ramadan and Hajj and other Islamic events, you can say force Muslims, compel Muslims to what? To resurrect the Hijra calendar.
I definitely agree. Well, we are a bit pushed on time, Doctor. We're coming up for a short break. So what you're saying to us, actually, Doctor, is we just must be united as Muslims, and the Hijra calendar keeps us united and to remember Allah as one.
Yes, absolutely true.
Jazakallah khair. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Doctor. Well, that's all we have time for right now. We're just taking a short break. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. You are honored, O month of the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum, and a very warm welcome back to the Philosophy of Fasting. As usual, we have Dr. Hatham Al-Dad joining us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, before the break, Doctor, we're talking about the Hijra calendar, why it's important to follow this and the oneness of Allah. So let's take it a bit further now. We've discovered the Hijra calendar. What is the benefits of using the Hijra calendar for us?
Okay. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. As we said that following the Hijra calendar is part of the Islamic identity.
Okay.
Now, if we follow the other calendar, our identity will be slowly, slowly stripped from us.
Okay.
Okay. And eventually, the other calendars are linked to non-Islamic symbols. Because all other calendars, the solar calendar is linked to the solar system.
Okay.
And it started mainly by the people who started to worship the sun. The Gregorian calendar is linked to the birth of the alleged birth of Isa alayhi salam, of Jesus, and so on. So each ummah has its own calendar.
Of course.
And we have our own calendar as Muslims. This is the Hijra calendar. And also the Hijra calendar is linking us, to the moon as well as some other natural phenomena, you can say, in order for us not to be disattached as a human beings from the creation, the rest of the creation of Allah Jalla wa'ala. But unlike those who started to worship the sun, we are not worshipping the moon, we are just using the moon as an indication for the beginning of the month and the end of the month.
Yes.
And in the Quran, we see that in various verses, Allah Jalla wa Ala commanded us to look at the stars.
Definitely.
And he said in the Quran, وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. We have created for them signs, and they use the stars in order to navigate, in order to know the dates, in order to know the timing, and so on. So this is basically the wisdom, or you can say the philosophy behind it. But the other point that I would like to mention is that imagine if there is no Ramadan, or as you said in the beginning, that we are following the Gregorian calendar in Ramadan, and we are, or in Zakah.
Yes.
You know, we give our Zakah based on the Gregorian year, 2012, 2011, etc. If we continue doing this, believe me, after some time, we will forget about the Hijra calendar.
Yes.
And we will be started, we will start to be disattached from our legacy and from the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now, see, younger children, when they ask when Ramadan is coming, and Ramadan might come like beginning of January. Or then the next year, Ramadan might come 13 or 12 of January, and so on. So there is no fixed date for Ramadan from the according to the Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
So people will start chasing and remembering the Hijra calendar.
Of course.
And they will not be, they will not forget about it. And you know, in the UK, in many lectures, I ask people, what is the date today? And they give me the Gregorian calendar.
Definitely.
They rarely give me the Hijra calendar.
Yes.
And this is wrong. We need to resurrect this.
Yes.
The Hijra calendar.
Definitely. I definitely agree with you, Doctor, because one of the things I learned was the importance of using the Hijra calendar to remember, like, you know, alhamdulillah, you're very knowledgeable on giving us this information. So it is important for the young children in our society to remember the Hijra calendar. Why do you not think it is compulsory for them, the masjids in the UK, to inform that the children, look, this is the Hijra calendar? Why do they not, let's not say enforce, but let's say advise
This is a good idea, Brother Rafi. This is a very good idea. And we can advise, as you said, the mosques, for example, when they put the calendar or when they put the date in the masjid, at least the masajid or the Islamic organizations,
of course,
to put the Hijra calendar in front of, in the main hall, in front of everyone, and they can put the Gregorian calendar. We are not saying that we should not use it at all, but we should put our Hijra calendar. And you know, for example, fasting the three white days, 13, 14, 15. You know, the Prophet ﷺ used to fast these 3 days. In fact, Hadith ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ used to fast them even if he was traveling.
Okay.
So how do we know about 13, 14, 15 if we are not following the lunar calendar?
Definitely.
And on the other side, the person who wants to fast, he will be what? Observing the lunar calendar.
Of course.
And this will encourage everyone to know about the lunar calendar.
For sure.
Let alone some other virtues for some other lunar months.
Okay. SubhanAllah. Doctor, I just want to ask you very quickly, you know, alhamdulillah, I am aware of fasting the 13th, 14th and 15th of the Hijra calendar. However, if you, the calendar, Hijra calendar falls on a Saturday, 13th, 14th and 15th, can you fast on this Saturday?
That is not a problem at all.
There's no problem.
No problem at all. Subhanallah. Maybe later on we will discuss this point.
Yes.
That, you know, there is a hadith that about the prohibition of fasting on Saturday, but that hadith is not a very authentic hadith.
It's not authentic.
And these scholars did not act upon it. So you can fast 13, 14, 15. There is no problem with that at all.
That's great. Dr. Hatham, you know, being, you know, a new Muslim, I'm still learning every day until I die. I'll be learning Islam. And
all of us are learning.
SubhanAllah. Yeah. You know, I can never tell you the benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives anyone, let alone myself. However, you're nervous, you stumble, and you don't know where to turn, what to do. The Hijra calendar, as you've just described to me, my heart's filled out because you've told me that Hijra calendar is to get close, to remember Allah, and this is the importance. So why has it become, in the West, okay to forget the Hijra calendar? Why is it that, okay, no, we're in the West, we don't need this? Because even if I was in the West, I want this calendar now.
Yeah, because, see, it is our shortcomings as Muslims. Mm. We are not holding fast firmly on our guidelines and principles. And unfortunately, now we have so many Muslims who started to say that we as Muslims living in the West, we have to have our own version of Islam. European Islam. Or British Islam. And this is another important philosophy of fasting. Because imagine that we started fasting based on a calendar that is unique for the West. Muslims will fast on another day in the East. And the sense of Ummah will be lost. And this is what non-Muslims, the enemies of Islam, are trying to do, is to have different identities for different Muslims in different places, different versions of Islam in different places. We have people are calling for European Islam, people calling for Chinese Islam, and it will be an endless discussion. And we will not be united as one ummah. That's why let us take this platform as what? As a call for all Muslims to go back to Quran and Sunnah and to go back to the consensus of Muslim scholars who have understood Quran and Sunnah and clarified them to all of us.
Definitely. If your heart is sincere to Allah, and you really believe in the oneness of Allah, and you've said the Shahada, why is it okay for the people in the non-Muslim countries or the West or European to accept this? How, you know, you made me feel so sad just when you were saying people want European Islam. There's no European Islam, it's one Islam.
Exactly.
Why do people want to accept this?
See, this is, of course, this will take us out of the remit of this, program.
Yes.
But mainly because people are accepting pressure from outside. And sometimes they do not understand the wisdom or philosophy, you can say, behind so many Sharia related rulings. They do not understand that wisdom. And that's why it is very vital, very important for us to spread the knowledge about Islam, about Sharia, the wisdom, the philosophy, the miracles behind Sharia, and also teach our children. And see, as you mentioned this, Brother Rafi, I remember, I don't know how much time do we have.
We're just a bit short on time there, but no worries.
But you know, the some people think that Islam is against science, especially in the West.
Of course.
And they say that, see, if you are calling for just watching the moon sighting, and you do not want us to follow the calculation or the observatory, it means that you do not want science, or Islam rejects science.
You understand?
And this is a big problem in the West. And I have been in a few conferences where some people, including some Muslims, by the way, they think that Islam is against science. And we say that Islam is not against science at all. In fact, we just said that Allah Jalla wa Ala says, سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. We will show them the signs in the creation of Allah جل وعلا.
Subhanallah.
And in themselves until they admit that it is either the Quran or Islam is the ultimate truth. So Allah جل وعلا wants us to explore His creation, because Allah جل وعلا confirmed this in the Quran that it will lead to the oneness of Allah جل وعلا if we reflect upon the creation in an open heart. However, I think you are pointing to me that we are running out of time, but there is a very interesting point.
Definitely.
Related to the relationship between science and Sharia. Maybe we can discuss it in the next episode.
Definitely. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio today, Dr. Hatham. So I guess we've learned today the importance of using the Hijra calendar. Both Dr. Hatham and I strongly advise you to actually go to the masjid and find out all about the Hijra calendar. Until next time, we're going to think about the science behind the philosophy of fasting. Until next time, I'll leave you in the safe care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran.